The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So when the others said to him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers into the nail marks, and my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
We're reading here in today's gospel from chapter 20 in the book of John. If you read on in the gospel of John, you'll find chapter 21 has an extraordinary and moving reconciliation of Peter and others of his disciples. Nathanael is in the group and the beloved disciple in chapter 21. But here, in chapter 20, we'll take a look at the teaching of the text of today's gospel. We concentrate in this text about the doubting Thomas, which is probably not a good title. He wasn't doubting. He was questioning. And Jesus said, "Do not be unbelieving." He was unbelieving. To doubt means you kind of believe, but then you're not sure. But here, Jesus says, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And he is no worse or no better than the others. The others did not believe until they saw Jesus. And so Thomas said, "I will believe if I see Jesus and touch his wounds." That's part of the text of today's gospel. But let me look at the powerful teaching that comes out of this gospel. It's some 30 years ago, and I still remember the long read of Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. It's got three books. It's a very long read, but it's an extraordinary chronicle. It's a diary of his 8 years imprisoned in the Soviet prison camps, the labor camps. And it's his own remembrances, but also the narratives that come from fellow prisoners and he collects them into this extraordinary work entitled The Gulag Archipelago. And in this, he has an extraordinary theology of suffering. He was Russian Orthodox, he was a believer, and he has this amazing interpretation of the suffering and the rigor of his time in the prison camps. So much so that the peak moment of his understanding comes when he says, "Bless you, prison. Bless you for being in my life. For it was on rotten prison straw that I discovered the meaning of life. It is not in the achievements of the world, but in the maturity of the soul." That was in his interpretation of suffering. It taught him about the ideal in life is the maturity of the soul. So let me look at that. When we make promises in life, we make commitments, we're guided by ideals. In marriage vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, we don't think about the poorer, and we don't think about the sickness, and we don't think about the bad times. When we make these vows, we make them in an ideal context where we're dealing with the wonder of the moment, no different than when I made my priestly vows 60 years ago or so. I belong to a powerful church. And of course, in Ireland, with the Protestants, Catholics, we knew we were right and we knew they were wrong. So we had a church that was guided by uniformity, not so much unity, but uniformity. We all believed, we were certain, we were powerful, we were dominant. The church was right. The church was true. It was the only true church. And I made my commitment to this church to preach the gospel in behalf of this church. And I didn't know that someday I would arrive at an understanding experience of a sinful and broken church, a church that's struggling, a church that's questioning, a church that isn't uniform, but seeking a unity. I never expected to belong to a church that was so wounded and so struggling as we have today. And the priesthood to which I committed in my vows was an idealized priesthood, exalted, highly revered. I didn't know that one day I would belong to a priesthood that was shamed by a pedophile crisis, a priesthood that would be questioned. People will second guess the priesthood. I never thought about that. I thought about the ideals. I didn't think about for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health. I didn't think about that. We make these promises in life guided by ideals. And that's exactly what we have in this gospel reading today. We have these disciples in the upper room, committed themselves to follow Jesus Christ, the powerful Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, the idealized Jesus Christ, who was going to reform the world. Jesus Christ, who would announce a kingdom that would conquer the world, an all-powerful kingdom. And their ideals were crushed. And they got a suffering Jesus Christ. They got a Jesus Christ who was rejected, who had to carry a cross and walked alone, who was demeaned and embarrassed in the community of the time, who was considered a failure. They considered Jesus a failure. This ideal they had, the kingdom that would conquer the world, was no more. And this same Jesus that they were following died ignominiously on a cross. It was not part of their plan. They did not commit to this. And now they're in an upper room. They're full of fear. They're hopeless. Their dreams are crushed. Everything they expected is gone. They're empty. They have no gospel to preach. They're confused. They do not know where to go. They're carrying the wounds of disillusionment. And Jesus comes and he says, "Peace be with you." And Jesus carries the wounds of his journey. The wounds of Jesus will meet the wounds of the church. This is the church being shaped. And now Jesus comes to them and he shows them his wounds. "I have gone through what you were hoping not to go through. For you I have suffered. For you I have died." So they have to find a new understanding of suffering, a new understanding of the meaning of following Jesus Christ. They will find a new understanding of what it means to be in the church. They will have to accept their own humanity, their own failures. "When I began as a priest, I never thought about my failures. I never thought that I would have to accept my humanity. I would have to be reconciled with my failures in my life." And now they are called to a new understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So where are we in the church today? We have a struggling church. We have a sinful, broken church. And we have a church which will show us the wounds of Jesus Christ in our midst. And where are you in your life? What wounds did you carry? What disillusionment do you have in your life? What failure are you hiding? You're fearful to face in your life. Have you been overlooked, forgotten? Have you been abused in your life? Have you been disappointed? Have you faced your own failures, your sinfulness in your life? And Jesus comes among you with his wounds and says, "I too have suffered. I too have been rejected. I have been embarrassed. I have been judged unjustly. I have been dismissed. And by standards of the world, I have failed." Where you find yourself in life, Jesus Christ is there. And Jesus says, "Peace, peace be with you." Wherever your pain is, it has meaning. "Bless you, prison," says Solzhenitsyn. In my pain, in my struggle, in my failure, I learned the meaning of life. I learned what it said to make a promise, to make a pledge, to make a statement of my integrity, my honor. I learned in the power of Jesus Christ how to carry a cross, how to avoid anger and resentment, how not to pay back, how not to destroy another person. I have learned a theology of suffering. And Jesus comes among us and says, peace be with you wherever you find yourself in life. And then we come to wonder, who will tell the story? Somebody must tell the story so that the story will live. Somebody must speak the gospel. A gospel which can only be spoken from a place where you have had suffering. Without suffering, without failure, without struggle, without the need to be forgiven, there is no gospel. And therefore, the gospel we have to speak to the world, the story we have to tell, must involve following Jesus Christ in suffering, in dying, and being reborn into eternal life. I've mentioned to you in the past this old priest that I used to visit. He was a cranky old fellow, and each time I'm leaving him, I'd say, John, say something wise. He said many things that weren't so wise, but on one occasion he said, now remember this, he said, if you want to live more than one life, you must die more than once. I said, John, I will not forget that. You must die. To what must you die now? What suffering do you have that's overcoming you? Let it go. What judgment do you have about another? Let it go. What division do you have in your family? Forgive. Heal. It's the journey. And it's the only way in which we will understand the voice of Jesus Christ saying to us, peace. Peace be with you. I give to you not the peace the world gives. I give you peace of soul. Amen.